Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. We're having some fun. It's Raheel in for Barry. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday. Glad to have you guys all along for the ride. Stalker Brian is with you on massages, by the way, Raheel. Feels more tense afterwards. Very uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
That's Raheel. Whenever he crank calls the show, which he likes to do under an alias, but at least they're normally from Sugarland, to give you a little bit of a hint, because otherwise in Sugarland you can't hear the signal. But he uses uncomfortable at some point.
That's how I knew.
That's how I knew it was Raheel. Because he does. Otherwise, he's got you going that it could be any random dude off the street. But then he would go just uncomfortable.
And I'll be honest.
It's Raheel.
Every time he's called in and pranked the show, I never noticed until Barry or you pointed it out.
And Nick, I told you my name, right? The name you that did, I always forgot. Use. I'll tell you because I'm sure our bosses don't like this.
Is it Sean from Sugarland?
No. It's Ray in Sugarland.
Oh, Ray in Sugarland.
So if you ever hear Ray in Sugarland on any sports radio station, because I will prank call other shit.
Oh,
I love that.
I like that.
But only my friends. Only people I know.
Okay.
So some of the guys I'm cool with.
You're not cranking anybody.
No, I'm cool with most everyone, I think, at the business. Kidding. No, I'm not one of those, I hate the other guys. I'm friends with the other guys. It's all right. We can all have careers and be okay with it, guys. But I'll prank call them from time to time. So if you ever hear Ray in Sugarland, it's more than likely me. I like doing it.
Remember that.
What's your best prank call? Has your best prank call been here or at other stations?
Here. I've gotten the blitz a few times, and then I think
they
ended phone calls for the day.
You really? Got under their skin that much?
But they knew it was you?
No, they didn't know it was me. They've picked up the last few times because listeners will snitch on me because of the name. Because I've said the name before, and I think it's like one of those cool things that, you know, whoever's listening now will know forever that that's me. But they snitch because they want to. They just want to win the admiration of the Blitz. Like, oh, look, Fred, look, AJ. I love you guys. Look, I snitched on Raheel, guys. Love me forever. Text me back.
Barry's very passionate about that.
He
hates that.
Yeah, yes. Like, no, but guys do that, right?
Absolutely.
So they snitch on me. And
I've never
they
had that
picked
happen.
Up on that. Yeah, they picked up on it. So they'll be like, was that Raheel who just called? Because the text line is lighting up with this. And I'm like, guys, just relax. You know what the Blitz isn't going to do? If you tell them it's me, they're not going to return your text. They're not going to become your friends. It's all right. Let's have a little fun. Stop snitching. All right, guys?
The Blitzers are very passionate that way. And Barry,
but now you got to change your name. You can't be Ray in Sugarland.
I'll forever be Ray in Sugarland. That's the art of it. That's the excitement is, can I still get somebody with the name being out there? There's one show that I want to call so badly.
Like, as long as it's
but I don't
like,
know if he picks up on it or not.
In the mornings?
No.
Oh.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Because this one I want to like become a regular prank caller.
I think that would be awesome. But I think as long as you go along the lines of Ray in Sugarland, you could be Ramon, Raymond.
Raymond. Yeah, I could go a little Raymond action. Raji.
Sure.
That is more likely that a Raji lives in Sugarland than a Ray now.
Not touching that one. Not
no,
even
it is.
Close.
Sugarland's actually one of the most diverse
Nick, have
cities.
At it. Not me.
Mm-mm. It's true.
No, Fort Bend County in general is one of the most diverse populations in the nation.
Oh, I know it.
It's awesome.
I'm smack dab in the middle of it.
Yeah.
At one point, it was the fastest growing city in the nation. And that's probably why it's so diverse. At one point, I think it was Sugarland and a suburb right outside of Chicago that were like the two fastest growing cities.
Mm.
So...
Yeah, be careful in Chicago these days.
The more you know.
Yeah, there you have it. Eric wants to get in here. He's got a question for you about shoes. Eric, what's up?
Hey guys, Abra Hill, did you get the Air Jordan 13s he got game, or the Travis Scott?
I did not get.
Getting the.
No, go ahead.
Well, sorry. I got the Travis Scott. I won the drawing. So, but are you going to get the Melo 13s? Since he's a Rocket now.
No chance I get the Melos. Zero chance I get Melos.
I think they quit. I think they told Melo, you're not going to have your own shoe anymore.
Yeah,
you're still going to do brand Jordan, and we will endorse you, but you don't get your own shoe anymore.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Eric. And the other thing they're doing with Carmelo now is no more new signature shoes, but they will re-release some of his older ones.
Jordans in certain colors, like when he was with the Nuggets and he wore the Jordans. I think it was the sixes?
Could have been.
But they re-released him recently in the powder blue and yellow when he was with the Nuggets.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, his like actual signature shoes, they will re-release them.
Have you ever tried them?
No, I'm not.
I got an almost brand new pair just collecting dust because they are not comfortable.
No.
Not comfortable.
They look white and blue.
Which ones are you talking about?
They're not comfortable. Which ones? The ones that aren't comfortable?
Yeah.
The Mellows of like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
White with like silver accents and silver Jumpman. Just not great.
No. And then the He Got Games, the Jordan re-releases from, of course, He Got Game.
Yep. Ray Allen.
Jesus wore them.
Jesus Shuttlesworth. Yep.
I did not get a pair of those, unfortunately. I'm not, I only like collecting the 11s. That's it.
I love the 11s.
I love the 11s, and I don't wear them.
And I told you that I found the 11 low, white on white, that I had in storage, and now they're eggshell colored, and it's just crushing.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the 11s. Other than that, I might like pick up, if I can get some bread 13s, I'll get those. But the Travis Scott's, no. I got a pair of the oiler blue ones, and I sold them.
Did you see, by the way, that the new Travis Scott's have interchangeable swooshes?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I like that idea. Good. There was, back in the day, and I'm trying to remember if it was Cons and somebody else did that, where there was a pocket inside the shoe, and you got a color wheel, and you could change the colors of the logos on the shoes. And I always thought that was cool, because you're always trying to, obviously the bottoms might be tricky, unless they're gummy bottoms or clear bottoms, but you could change the actual colors of the logos, which was cool.
Nike does that with their Foamposites also. Their white Foamposites comes with, I think, 9 different swoosh colors.
I like that.
And you can switch it up for your outfit. So, yeah, thanks for the call, Eric. Appreciate
it. I definitely like that idea. I think that's very cool. All right, so now you're getting people on the text line that are chiming in you should chime in more often doing crank calls with Ray and other
names. You got to keep listening. Just keep listening throughout the day.
I'm very interested in who you want to that you haven't yet.
I'll tell you in the break. Because this one I want to become a regular on and see. And I think it's rather easy to do with this guy.
Okay.
So, but you got to keep listening. Ray and Sugarland will call in when he calls in. You know, he's just like you. He's a listener. I still listen to sports radio like most of our listeners. I like it.
A lot of people are loyal listeners across the board. Some are across the board. Some are just across the station, morning, noon, and night. A lot of people, because they're on the road all the time. I appreciate that. A lot of people just blog about it and have way too much time on their hands, and I don't know how the hell that they do what they do.
I listen to every radio station. I listen to 740, 950. I try to listen as much as I can.
I don't do that.
I love it.
Really?
I love radio. I grew up listening to radio.
I did too. My dad forced it on me because we had radios going. That's how we listened to games and everything else most of the time. And I don't love it that much. I'm not listening to 950 and 740.
Yeah, it's like seeing,
unless there's like a weather issue or a traffic issue.
I like hearing what others are doing. Like, hey, what's happening on this format?
Traffic and weather together could not sound more boring.
Hey, man, top of the hour, baby. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to get my traffic and weather together, as you mentioned it.
Yeah. One other NBA note, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but this is crazy, but this is the new day and age of the NBA. Bruce Bowen has been relieved of his duties as color analyst for the LA Clippers. Why, you ask? Well, because we're already talking about 2019 free agency in the NBA, and the Clippers want to be a player for Kawhi Leonard. And a week or so ago, Mr. Bowen went on satellite radio and decided to give his honest opinion on what happened between Kawhi, the Spurs, and why it didn't work out. And the Clippers are so sensitive about that being a part of what could cause Kawhi to go elsewhere that they have let his employer know, because they have to approve the announcers, that they will not approve Bruce Bowen doing color commentary for the Clippers.
I didn't even know he was part of the Clippers broadcast.
I heard it, and I thought it was disconnected. I mean, obviously, you'd think if he's going to do games, he should do the Spurs. And he had done some ESPN in the past. But he got the gig. And of course, anytime you get a gig to do a big, look, take it from someone who knows. I was a white guy that never played, you know, professional basketball, and I did color and studio for 8 years.
At least so you played
I felt it, but I felt it was an honor to do it. But if you're an NBA guy and you get a chance to do it in another market, just you're doing games, you love that.
Yeah, that's a cool gig. You're right. That is today's NBA, man. You just never know what's going to tick off a superstar and why he wouldn't pick you. And if it's something as small as that, do you really want that guy there?
I've told you my stories before, and a lot of them I don't tell on the air. But yeah, every team is hypersensitive like that, and things that you wouldn't even think about thinking about become issues. Mm-hmm. And that's what's crazy.
Do we know who's up? Like, did Kawhi get upset and make a phone call to the Clippers, or did the Clippers hear it and they just said, hey, you're not talking bad about him? Like, what was the dynamic?
Well, I mean, I think because he didn't hold back, but he didn't hold off in keeping it to just Kawhi either. He basically made comments about him getting bad advice, about his people not doing the right things. So I think it wasn't just Kawhi. It was Kawhi, his camp, the whole thing. And obviously that's going to be something that may or may not come up if he starts negotiating with teams at the end of the year. And they didn't want that to be a negative.
Well, those are going to be the same people that negotiate.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody talked bad about you and that same person or that same franchise has that person employed, do you want to deal with them? Again, it comes down to, like, this is the new NBA.
Yeah.
And that's part of it.
Real quick before we go to break, this was Bowen's exact comments on SiriusXM Radio. I think there's nothing but excuses going on when it comes to the Spurs and Kawhi and Kawhi's camp. First it was, well, I was misdiagnosed. Look here, you got $18 million this year and you think they're trying to rush you? You didn't play for most or part of a full season this year and you're their go-to guy? You're the franchise and you want to say they didn't have your best interest at heart? Are you kidding me? I think he's getting bad advice. Here you go, Nick, with the other part of it. I think what you're starting to see now is an individual given a certain amount of advice, and it's not the right advice. Here it is. You were protected in San Antonio. You were able to come up during a time when you could still lean on Tim, Tony, and Manu. Mm. Uncle is not liking that at all if you're Uncle Leonard. Just throwing it out there. So the Clippers are looking for a color analyst. We'll see how that plays out.
Can I apply?
Sure. Good luck to you. All right, we'll be back with... Are you going to reply as Ray or Raheel?
That's a good one. Ray.
Yeah. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We got much more of the big show. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects on a Monday, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee deep in hour number two of The Usual Suspects on a Monday. Raheel in for Barry. Nick and I are present and accounted for as we've spanned the globe as we continue to give you the best in sports and entertainment.
You know what wasn't good this weekend?
What's that?
The Houston Astros.
No, they were not. Nice. And that's, you know, I got several tweets and texts throughout the weekend. Are you ready to press the panic button yet? And you know, is it time to press the panic button? So much so that I wrote my column for Sports Map on that very subject. I think if you didn't have all the guys injured that you have injured, I would be at a different level of concern. But I think that one thing that I listened to you guys this morning, and I've kind of gauged interest across the city, everybody just seems to think like this is no big deal, and it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to win the division regardless. And I think that objects in your rearview mirror are closer than you think. And you got to be careful that the A's are the hottest team in baseball right now. And granted, on paper, they have the best roster in the division and obviously one of the best rosters in baseball. But it is a little concerning how close the A's are. And you just let a Mariners team back into the race when you could have eliminated them with three out of four this weekend.
You do. So... I'm also, my Sports Map video tomorrow is going to be on that very topic of the Astros in August. And of course, this, and one of my big points is this year, as you mentioned, it's just tougher because Oakland and Seattle are right there. And if not, I mean, like, they are right behind you. This always happens in August. With this core nucleus, you go back to every August since 2015 when they first made the playoffs with the core group. Every August, it's like this. Last year was a little different, right? 11-17, they were coming off the disappointment of the trade deadline. We had the jokes about disappointed Dallas. Hurricane Harvey happened, but that was only two losses because they only played three games after Hurricane Harvey. And at home, the last 2 years, they have a losing record. It always happens in August. And it's because of, as you mentioned, injuries. Injuries are important in this discussion. Now, they can salvage this whole month because you have six against Oakland, three on the road, three at home. Mm-hmm. You have three more against Seattle. So you go 4-2 against Oakland. This race all of a sudden is now a five-game lead. And that sometimes is maybe all you need and to start peaking at the right time. You do have the Angels. There's a lot of West opponents.
But you got to be careful what you wish for because, again, remember now, the Mariners just swept you at home.
Yep.
The A's manhandled you the last time they were in town. I think they won 3 of 4. So you've got to be deeply concerned about the fact that teams that you were dominating and have been dominating for the last two-plus years, you now say, well, I can handle my business, and I, you know, and that's a good thing against these teams. But lately, you haven't had the same kind of success level. And obviously, offensively, production-wise, is way down because of the injuries. But here's the other thing. The column that I wrote was specifically about, hey, before you get to the waiver-clearing trade deadline of the end of the month, you got to explore another bat. Because you think about guys that were top prospects of this franchise that were going to be the heir apparents to outfield positions and being guys that are going to carry on the franchise. Kyle Tucker's not ready yet. Okay? He may be down the line somewhere, and obviously he's still a guy that you're going to put a lot of stock in down the line. But in his appearances, yesterday again with the bases loaded and can't even put the bat on the ball, it's painful, right? Last year's big guy that was untouchable was Derek Fisher, five-tool guy. Fast, great outfielder, could do so many things, can't hit. So he does the whole, I said, he got done in, and really, not only does he need offense, but he needs a big can of insect repellent because he got that bug bite and then he just disappeared for a while.
Yeah.
But even since he's back, he can run, he can cover some ground in the outfield, but he can't hit. And as good as Tony Kemp has been, you need a veteran bat that has playoff experience. That, because the other thing is, Gattis got hot there for that stretch before the All-Star break, and he's come back to where he normally is. So from a designated hitter to a left field position, I think they could use one more bat.
How about Marwin on the pads yesterday? My God.
Yeah.
The running errors, you're just like, come on.
And the thing is, he's hitting right now.
Yeah.
So you can't get too... But you're right, and those are little things that normally this team, the way it's coached, the way it plays, they just don't make those mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's in part because of so many guys playing strange positions,
yep,
strange parts of the lineup. The guys you have hitting in the cleanup position and the 3-4-5 position are not normally going to be Evan Gattis. They're not going to be Tyler White.
Yep.
Guys like that. And White, again, two other guys that were highly touted coming out of their farm system. But Davis and White, granted, the second time around, White's had a couple of hits, a big home run when they needed it in San Francisco. But for the overall big picture, when they come to the batter's box, you don't have any fear in your heart as an opponent going, well, I'd rather face these guys than Altuve and Correa and the likes of guys that are on the DL.
You know, George Springer hopefully should return here against the Rockies. That's the plan. Just waiting for him. Altuve is a strange one, just like Carlos Correa, where you go 10-day, he should be back. Now it's turned into 20. Hey, is there any updates on Altuve? Yeah, it didn't work out. We don't know what's happening. Carlos
was supposed
Correa
to run the bases this weekend and do all these things. It didn't do it.
It's starting to get a little strange, but if you can get him back here hopefully soon. But even if you get Springer back and you got Springer, Correa, Bregman, and then you hope that those three can elevate the game of others around them, like a Yuli, like a Gattis, like a Marwin, all those guys, and start peaking at the right time, because they've been in a funk now for a bit.
Yeah.
Even the games that they've won, it's been like late inning heroics. You're like, oh my God, that was okay, nice wins, finally. But it's been really, really quiet. I know you had the 14-0 win against the Dodgers, and that was nice. And you really just attacked their bullpen more than anything. But it's been a lot of quiet nights. And you're hoping that this slump that they're in is finally over. And that once you maybe get Springer back, that you start getting these runs up there again and helping out the starting pitching a little bit. Because there's only so much the starters can do without some run support.
And I mentioned it in the article. The other thing is, you assume all these guys are going to be healthy well before you get to the playoffs, but you better hope they get healthy in time to make sure you get to the playoffs, because you don't want a free fall. We've seen this happen. The Mariners almost fell right out. The Yankees were struggling, but they're starting to climb back up, because there was a time where people were saying, well, the Red Sox are so far ahead. If the Yankees fall behind the two teams in the Astros division, obviously at the forefront, they might not even make the playoffs. So you look at all that, and you got to assume these guys are all getting healthy. But if one or more of these guys aren't healthy or struggling, like what we're asking these questions about Altuve, it behooves you even more to go get another bat.
Yeah.
Because you need the guys you mentioned, great complementary players. But complementary players aren't hitting in the 3-4-5 hole. They're not counted on to be average, hitting for average and pop and RBIs. So even Yuli, you know, guys that had good year. Marwin had a career year. We all said he's going to fall back to the means a little bit, but now he's getting hot, but he's really fallen back. Reddick's a guy that was the best hitter in the American League at home last year, and then he struggled in the playoffs, and the struggles are real now because they're consistently all across the board this year. And you know, you don't have McCann. There are guys that you're missing too. So I'm not panic button pushing, but I am concerned.
Here's one last number regarding the AL West for you. Two numbers. 8-16 at home against AL West opponents. 24-5 on the road against AL West opponents. I've never seen that. Yeah, it was great that, look, you can go out on the road and win a game because you more than likely won't have home field throughout. That's nice, but I've never seen a number like that where it's that lopsided.
You were only a given that you weren't going to catch the Red Sox. But if you keep free-falling, you're going to not have home field. And remember how important home field was against the Yankees, against the teams that they needed against. It was there for them. And now it's not going to be there this year if they keep free falling too. And the other number I'll give you, we talked all year long about how good Seattle was in one-run games. You realize the A's are 23-10 in one-run games? That's how important those one-run games are. And as you mentioned, lately, those one-run games that they used to be in control of, they're slipping away. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If you want to talk Astros or otherwise, we're here for you. We're at the midway point of the show. It's Nick, Raheel, and Joel on a Monday. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Second half of the show. Nick, you want to tell people what that means?
90 in the front, 90 in the back, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, the rear normally doesn't come into to play like
90
that.
In the rear.
But it's 90 in the rear view, 90 still to go in the big show. That's how we do it. We're ready for the second half.
Nick likes 90 in the rear.
I don't want to know.
Me and you both, Nick.
Well, there you go. You don't like to be touched, but okay.
Yeah, man, air fist bump.
Well, to each his own, I guess.
Yeah, it's 2018, man. Joel, try it out.
Opinions are like a-holes. Everybody's got one. Something like that? No? Okay, so second half of the show. If you missed anything in the first half of the show, please feel free to catch up on the podcast, as we have had plenty of discussions going on. Lots of good stuff, lots of calls, tweets, texts. Appreciate you guys being suspects and coming along for the ride as we have some fun here on a Monday. And of course, Raheel, we appreciate you so much. So we're going to have you back on Thursday as well. This has been fun already. I did want to mention to you too, by the way, I think I'm done with the padding and cushioning level on the CP3s. I like the look of them.
Yeah.
But hooping them is a different animal.
So Joel and I are big basketball. Like, we still play basketball. Yep. I got to play at least, once or twice a week. And I'm still playing leagues. Shout out to the Y Factor presented by Man Centers.
Oh,
we have a basketball league every Tuesday night, and we're in the semifinals tomorrow night. I'm just a role player, so I don't want to make it sound like I'm really, really good, but we do have to set up a challenge.
Do you play with the guys? Because when we went out to Rudy's Barbecue, mm-hmm. One of the doctors or whatever at the Man Center came over and said he had a really good squad.
Yeah, Dr. Grimaldo, Tristan.
Okay.
The Asian guy?
Are you on his team?
I run with his team. Okay. So we play out at Phila Hoops, the Filipino league. And it's really cool. They're awesome people.
Is that a 6 foot and under league?
It's a B. They have an A league and a B league. They had Corey Brewer playing with their A league last year.
Brew is a guy, afraid to play anywhere.
Dude will just show up.
Corey's one of the nicest guys. By the way, even after the Rockets got rid of him, he lived here in the offseason. Mm-hmm. About a block from the station, there's a Smoothie King. And I think his apartment is somewhere in this area. He would walk through the drive-thru at the Smoothie King. And I'd honk the horn and wave to him and be like, yeah, just hanging out. Corey Brewer is one of the nicest guys ever.
Awesome guy.
Yeah.
Awesome guy. So, yeah, he shows up, so shout out to them. But, yeah, I still play in leagues. I like going. Like, if I don't play 1 week, mm-hmm. I feel off.
I'm with you.
Like, I like staying active. I do all that. So you and I always exchange texts about what shoes Nike's releasing and what shoes we're wearing. And you don't venture too much to the other brands. You're loyal to it.
I'm the swoosh guy.
Yeah. And like, I try the Adidas stuff out, but it always ends up with me texting you. I return those. Those are not good. I'm on the LeBron Zoom Soldier 12s now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth a buy. Buddy.
LeBrons are always good, and I was a big fan of the LeBron Lowe's when they had the 360 Air in them. Mm. But I think for all the wrongs that Nike did with the Hyperdunk, you know, I'm a bit the cushioning in the Hyperdunk Low right now is fantastic.
Yeah, Hyperdunk's 10-year anniversary, by the way, the shoe that launched a whole new performance line for Nike with the 2008 Nike or the USA Dream Team, the Olympics team. Nike created a shoe specifically for that team. Kobe's wearing it. LeBron was wearing it. Everyone was wearing it. And they wanted to just focus on the performance aspect of the basketball shoe. And that kind of changed the whole line now where
so after 9 years, market. They finally got it right. And you're 10.
Still, hopefully.
Because I can tell you this. The one shoe that made NBA teams training staffs want to ban a shoe rosters are the initial and the early Hyperdunks.
Mm-hmm.
Rip Hamilton, if you remember, always had foot problems. Steph Curry with his foot issues. The training staff swore that they traced it back to that Hyperdunk.
It was. That was it. There was a huge story on ESPN about that with the training staffs all over. Went on record.
Because the Pistons guy was on record as saying, I don't care if it hurts or if they're an NBA sponsor, whatever they are, I don't want to see that shoe in our locker room ever again.
Yeah, it's because it was the first shoe to have fly wire as a support system, which is, you can't do that. It's not enough support.
Right.
And it caused all sorts of issues for NBA players. So you and I go back and forth about shoes. So if you guys ever want like performance reviews, we're your guys. We're actually playing.
No doubt. Yeah. Absolutely. So there's just a little tidbit, but should be interesting too, because think about all the different shoes you're going to see with the Harden being the number one guy for Adidas, and then the two brand Jordan guys. So you got two brand Jordan guys on the same squad. CP3 still has his own shoe, and Melo's just brand Jordaning. So that'll be some colorways that hopefully are coming through with Rockets colors, because Melo, they've been focusing on the colorways because they took away his own signature shoe.
I've always wondered how much that plays into free agency. You know, in college basketball, it's a huge deal with the camps that you participate in. If you're doing the Adidas circuit, you more than likely are going to an Adidas school. If you're doing a Nike circuit, you more than likely are going to get recruited to a Nike school. That's because the Nike coaches are at these camps, right? But the new NCAA rules for basketball, they're cutting down on a lot of the pre-camps and preseason camps and all these like affiliated camps. They're cutting back on this because of that very reason. But I wonder how much an NBA free agency that plays a role into it, where you've got Jordan guys together, Nike guys together.
Well, look, Kawhi wanted out of San Antonio because the offer that Brand Jordan made him was very much lacking compared to where they thought he should be. And they said part of the deal was they need to get that shoe company offer up. And the way to do that is to play in a major metropolitan city like LA, like maybe even Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And get that international appeal of it. So interesting to see how that plays out. But that's definitely something you and I are still very focused on. I love hooping. So that's always fun. And the dudes I hoop with still listen to the show, which is
shout
also
out to
helpful.
Them, man.
Yeah, shout out to Marcus and the dudes that listen. News of the day, just in case you missed anything. Carmelo is now officially a Rocket. Mike D'Antoni says it's a better fit this time than it was when He was coaching him with the Knicks. That is another factor that we didn't talk about that remains to be seen. D'Antoni quit because of Carmelo Anthony in New York. So hopefully they work that out. I know everybody thinks we're hating on him. No, we're just giving you honest both sides of the equation. So we'll see what happens there. Preseason week one out of the finally out of the way in the NFL. But did you see all the fights and the stuff going on this weekend?
I love it. I love it.
Nick, did you see it?
So the Jets, Redskins
fight. Major brawl. By the way, factor this in. The Texans had a major brawl the year that they were on Hard Knocks. Do you remember who it was with?
The Redskins.
That's correct.
And do you remember the
Redskins and Jets now? Knockdown, drag out. It got into the fans.
Wow. That was a good fight. That was a good brawl.
It was crazy. If you missed it, go online and check it out. I put it on the rundown. Nuts the way these guys would not say they wouldn't quit. They just kept throwing haymakers and shoving each other. It was crazy. But, I mean, they got to be relevant somehow. Both teams kind of, But, they went at each other. And this Jaguars incident got crazy, too. So, if you missed it, at Jaguars practice this weekend, you know, they let the media in for the last part of practice. They let the media in, and obviously the media is always using their phones, getting some video to go with whatever they're going to say, whatever they're going to do. And they started, you know, checking out the last couple matchups of what was going on the field. And lo and behold, two Jaguars players got into it. And it wasn't just a one-time thing. They kept going at each other. And by the end of it, it got to where pads were off, guys were like being held back, but were trying to run around the guys, holding them back, trying to get more. And Jalen Ramsey, the all-pro cornerback for the Jags, realizes the media is one of the guys in the media that's one of the beat writers for the Jags, is filming all of this. And he starts cussing at him to put the phone down, whatever. He's irate. He's upset. And as a result of it, he takes to Twitter and basically puts out a very stern message to the media with, would you say it was a threat? Do you have the tweet up?
Yeah, I'll pull up the tweet here, but it was a direct threat that you guys want to go to battle, let's go to battle.
Right.
And like Jalen Ramsey, relax, I get it. And Lance recapped all the incidents where Jalen Ramsey's not a big fan of the media, fine. You know, you do what you guys have to do as a player.
Well, we recap the fact that he's a big fan of jumping into DMs and finding out that chicks know that he has a baby mama and a baby, and then he jumps out real quick and blocks them.
Hey, shoot or shoot.
Well, he shot his shot, and then he got shot down and bailed as quickly as he could. But yeah, he's got a little bit. So the fight wasn't involving him, but he was taking the defense of his players, and he didn't like the fact that the media were actually just doing their job and filming practice when, lo and behold, a gold mine was right in front of him because there's a fight going on. And then he goes and takes the shots at the media, basically threatening him. And now he's suspended as well as the players that got in the fight.
Yeah. 1 week for Jalen Ramsey, which, look, let's be honest, that might be a blessing in disguise for him where, hey, get yours. But Dell this morning was saying that he could lose a lot of money over this because of something in the contract. And I got to find that out, and I'll get that for you in a second. Look, the beat writer did the right thing, by the way. Because he's doing his job.
It's a Jags beat writer. Too. Yeah, he works for the team, right?
Right. He doesn't work for the team.
Or is he just?
He works for a media outlet covering the team. Okay. But again, you know, we always talk about this, and players hate the fact that when the media gets in there, they go, the battles today between the secondary and the wide receivers were off the hook, but so and so got the best of so and so. So much to the point where players go out and say, well, you reported that I got cooked on this play, but do you realize I'm trying new techniques because it's the preseason and it doesn't count, and sometimes I'm going to get beat, and then I realize that move's going to work or not work, but you said I got cooked and I don't like it. Players listen. They pay attention, and they don't like that stuff, so it's another reason to be mad at the media, but the media's just doing their job.
Yeah. You don't have a fight like that. Try not to, okay? You know there's media there. That's the first thing you learn when a team brings you in. Like, guys, look, if there's media around, assume that they're recording. Assume that they... And by the way, he wasn't doing anything by recording. This wasn't a closed practice. At that portion, you're allowed to record at the end. Guys were walking off. This was as they were walking off. This wasn't during a drill. This was like, they're just... As you're walking to the cart, the guy's name is Philip Heilman. Heilman?
The Jags beat writer.
He writes for Jax.com. Wild story, man. But...
Yeah, we'll look up and find the exact tweet for you, too. But, I mean, basically, and I didn't think it was that bad either, But I think the guys were just being a little too sensitive about an issue that's going to pop up. And you know what? If you don't like it as a team, do what the Rockets do. Rockets don't let you into practice until after they're done doing all their offensive drills and everything, and they're just doing, you know, getting shots up.
Here's the tweet. He mentioned Philip Hillman. You know you done messed up, right? LOL, if y'all want war, we got some for y'all. And I know the rest of y'all, you know who you are. Go and read this too, so just know. Hashtag lame ass reporters.
Now, is that that bad though?
I was just going to say, especially the fact that he put in an LOL in there.
It didn't Does that say, soften I'm, the blow? Next I mean, time I see you, I'm going to. It's not like threatening, like, next time I see you, I'm going to beat your ass. Or next time I see you in the locker room, you're going to get some. I didn't think it was that bad to be suspended for a week, but I guess the Jags are trying to make a statement. And you know, Doug Marrone is one of those guys as a head coach that wants to be a little bit more of a disciplinarian, so maybe that was part of the deal.
I am interested to see if what Raheel was saying is true in terms of losing money with the contract and stuff like that. Because the reports I saw, it was just a practice and or two practices in a preseason game is what he got suspended
for. But also,
for.
In the NFL, isn't it you don't get your actual check until week one of the regular season? So where would he miss?
That's what, let me text Del because he found this morning. I couldn't find it. So
you gonna wake him up or?
Yeah, it is nap time.
Yeah, it's nap time for Del.
He's probably burping right now.
He's either in the Bucky's bathroom taking care of business or he's at home napping. So all right, we'll get you that information on the way back after the break. But we appreciate you listening. It's the Usual Suspects. We're healing for Barry. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second hour, three-hour extravaganza. We like to call it the big show, as well as the Usual Suspects. It's Nick and Joel. It's Raheel in for Barry, having some fun here on a Monday. Appreciate y'all along for the ride. Got to a little NFL before the break. The other crazy story out of the NFL, if you heard about it, and we touched on it briefly the other day, the receiver from Florida, Callaway, I think it's Chris Callaway, he was basically considered to be a first-round pick when he went to Florida, and he had nothing but off-the-field issues, so much so that a lot of people, including Lance and others, were like, you got to be skeptical because of what he brings to the table off the field. Well, this last week, he was arrested. He was, I believe, he was speeding, and in the process of speeding, they found guns and ammunition in the car.
Weed.
Marijuana in the car. So all these things. Well, he goes back to camp, doesn't tell anybody. So the Browns got to find out about it kind of on the fly through the media. Stupid media. And in the process of all of that, Coach Hugh Jackson, not very happy with all of this. So the punishment? You're not only not going to be like the Jaguars, you're not going to be suspended. You're going to play, and when you want to come out, you're not coming out. You're going to play the whole game. You're going to play 54 plays in a preseason game, and every time you gesture to the sidelines that you need a break, you ain't getting one.
I didn't think it was that bad of a punishment. He's a fourth-rounder, right? As you recapped, he is a first-round talent, all that stuff, but he's a fourth-rounder.
Right.
When you're a fourth-rounder in the NFL and you're in your first year...
What? Now, it depends, right? Because if you're guaranteed a spot on the roster.
Yeah, let's say he is guaranteed a spot.
Then
but still, you're pretty young, right? Like, you still need to get your reps in. Maybe not 54, but don't you think he's playing 40? As a fourth rounder, it's not a given. It's not like you only get to play a driver.
I mean, if you're going to do it, game one's the game you're going to do it because you know the starters and the really, really counted on players aren't going to play more than a series. We saw that with the Texans. But overall... If this kid is so entitled, because look, everywhere he played until the off the field became too much to take, he was just babied. So he might be coming into camp with that same confidence and mentality of, oh, they want me. They know I got the talent. I'm going to be here, so I don't care. But they dragged his ass until he basically got gassed in that game. And I like it. But the one thing I like more than anything else, we're going to hear all about it on Hard Knocks. At least we better. I love it. I love that aspect of the fact that that's why I pay more. I've heard you guys talk about this 2 a.m. That's why I pay so much more attention to the Browns now. Because I can't wait for storylines for what's coming for week two.
I'm rooting for the Browns. I want to see them succeed. I think Hugh Jackson, you know, from the outside looking in last year, you go, this is a guy that didn't win a single game and was still talking about how we want to win. And, you know, he's saying all these things like you're like, come on, this is such a phony act. But then when you actually get to see the guy, and I get it, the cameras are on him and all that. But at some point when you're filming, it turns second nature. So many guys have talked about that, especially with the Texans, you know, talking to them in the locker room during their Hard Knocks year. You know, at some point it just turns into second nature. You don't know that the cameras are on you.
Oh, I think so, Jameis did.
Oh, Jameis, absolutely. I didn't watch that season because of that very reason. I'm like, this is so stupid.
Speech after speech after speech.
But like with Hugh Jackson, it seemed like, okay, the first time when they're doing the dip in the water because they didn't win a game, all that stuff.
Right.
Then the act kind of wore off and he became Hugh Jackson. Like, this is just me, the normal Hugh Jackson.
I'm
just a
guy,
a personal, right? Yeah. Like, I'm just a normal guy. I'm not putting on an act is what I'm trying to say is. And Hugh Jackson to me came off very likable. And like, I want to root for this guy. I want to see him win. And it's not just an act. It's not just a guy trying to keep his job. He seems like he's a good dude and he wants his team to be successful. And I'm rooting for that very reason. And yeah, I want to see what happens now. I want to know in this week, tomorrow night, we'll see why they traded Corey Coleman.
Yeah.
That's another
Number one draft pick. We highlighted on this show all the number ones now that are gone that they had stockpiled over the years with just bad, bad personnel department. I'm curious, too, because Alonzo Highsmith's a friend of mine. He's a friend of a lot of guys around here. I want to see if Zoe gets some time on the show, too, because that I think that would be cool. But I'm with you. Besides the Packers and the Texans, I'm following the Browns and checking this stuff. But real quick, because we recapped week one, but you and I didn't talk about it. Jarvis Landry's speech to the wide receivers, I told these guys about it. I thought it was great. Do you think it was planned, or do you think that it was really just from the heart?
I think it's from the heart.
It was great.
I thought it was fantastic. Even if it was planned, I think a lot of the younger guys needed to hear that.
Yeah, because like I said, the Jameis Winston stuff, it was just... It was hard to believe after a while that it was really from passionate from the heart. Travis Johnson, obviously a Florida State guy like Jameis, would come to his defense a little bit, but also said, yeah, I'm sure he probably knows the cameras are there. But it got to be forced. Mm-hmm. The Landry speech didn't feel forced.
Well, see, the Landry speech, there's a huge difference between when you've got cameras in your face and you know the cameras. That, like right now on ESPN975.com, we have cameras that you can watch us and we know there's cameras on our face. But when you get the meeting breakdowns, those cameras are not in your face.
Right.
That they're high up. They're just embedded in. So again, at some point, it just becomes second nature. You don't even remember the cameras are on. You know how I know that speech was real? He dropped some words in there that you know when cameras are rolling, you don't say.
Well, he was F-bombing.
More than that.
60 seconds. I'm trying to remember all of it, but...
He was dropping some words. You go, like, it's okay, like, within the team setting. You go, all right, But when you know cameras are on, teams don't want you saying this word. Right?
I told Nick and Barry, too, that offensive line coach that weighs about 375, it is like you could just tell he's kind of old school.
Old school football?
Yeah. He's not afraid to say some stuff that's going to get some people riled up before the end of the show if they keep rolling just with legitimately they don't edit what he says because he's not afraid either.
He's so old school. He's like, what? A kid died in Maryland? Good. You know what? That's football. No, that's not football, coach.
Right.
Coach, that's not football, actually.
We need to get to that, too, because that Maryland story is a little bit unbelievable. After the Ohio State scandal, this stuff at Maryland is going to get maybe even uglier. So we'll catch you up on that. We'll talk about that as well. And Juan, we see you as well. Don't go anywhere. The final hour of the show is coming up next. 60 minutes more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.